Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
And welcome back, folks. It is your Monday, February 6th, 2012. Happy birthday, to a man that I know a lot of you don't really care about anymore, but I'll always love him and I'll always have the greatest respect for the man. Mr. Ronald Wilson Reagan. Our 40th president. Today's his 101st birthday. Born February 6th. And I'd just like to say happy birthday to him, who I like to refer to affectionately as my pop-pop, my grandfather, the father of Reagan conservatism. I just want to wish him happy birthday, and a happy birthday to my mother. His birthday is also today. If I could tell you a quick story, when I was a kid and I found out that the president's birthday was the same as my mother, and I'll never forget when I went to my mother and I said, "Mom, you have the same birthday as President Ronald Reagan." My mother looked at me, stopped short for a second while she was in the middle of cleaning up, and said, "Great. That's just great." No, she wasn't too happy about it. My mom being a liberal, that is. Great. Just great. Like I completely ruined her birthday. It's Ronald Reagan's birthday. Just great. I never felt so awful in my entire life. But it is his birthday, my mother's birthday. So, of course, I'd like to say happy birthday to them both. First and foremost, as our friend Kool-Aid Man likes to say, to my mother, who bore me, who gave birth to the young man before you today, some 42, almost 43 years ago. Just like to say, happy birthday, Mom. Don't ask me what I got her for her birthday. It wasn't much. I got her a nice little card. I haven't even given it to her yet. It's almost over, but I'm just getting back here, but we'll get into that later. Oh, come on now. Let's get into the most important thing that there is. You know what it is we need to get into, because I'm sure that there are plenty of people who are so excited. So congratulations to the New York Giants for handedly beating the New England Patriots with a score of 21-17 in last night's Super Bowl, Super Bowl 46. All the New Yorkers are happy. Oh, and those people up in New England, they're not doing so well. Oh, they are so angry. They're so angry. They are so ticked off. And that's the best radio you can listen to. Listen to Boston Radio right now. You can listen to them online talking about how the New England Patriots lost that game. Oh, and the radio is just amazing. They're crapping on everybody. And I know I picked them. I picked them based on the stats. Not that I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Jets fan. And it's not that I'm not a Giants fan. Okay, maybe I'm not. I rag on them as often as I possibly can. But you know what? Eli Manning has solidified his place as an elite quarterback, beating them twice in 4 years. And the most coveted prize, the Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi trophy. So they deserved it. They deserved it. Now, of course, my intrepid crew is going to get into how excited they are. Oh, congratulations, they won. Oh, yes, Eli Manning's the man. Yes, Mike G. Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll hear all that from Mary. Mary, why are you bugging? She'll get her opportunity to talk about all that. But I'd like to talk about something more important. And it's associated with the game. The most important thing I'd like to talk about is this was the most boring Super Bowl in recent history. Absolutely boring. And where's the proof? Where's the proof that this was the most boring Super Bowl in recent history? Well, it goes in the numbers. Do you know that more people watched Madonna's Old Tired Behind on stage than they did watch the Super Bowl? More people. The ratings for the Super Bowl jumped during Madonna's performance. That's how disinterested they were in the Super Bowl. That is a New York team. It's number one team. It's number one team. Number one city in ratings. They got the biggest media market. But it was down from last year's Super Bowl. Green Bay Packers versus Pittsburgh Steelers. Green Bay? Pittsburgh? What are those cities ranked? 42? 28? This is New York, the number one media center. It's the number one market. The Giants won, and they couldn't beat out, could not beat out in the rank in the ratings, Green Bay and the Pittsburgh game. And Boston, for crying out loud, that's the number 10 market. It didn't beat them out. This was a boring game. Boring. No one in here is going to be able to talk about the most exciting aspects of the game. There are only two exciting aspects of this entire game. And what were those two exciting? The pass from Eli Manning to Manningham on the sidelines. An amazing pass. Amazing pass. Reminiscent of the last Super Bowl. Of the last Super Bowl. Well, more the playoffs last year. Probably 4 years ago. Against Green Bay when Eli was just tossing that ball into the corner and Plexico Burress was catching the ball. It was just falling into his hand like Plexico Burress had magnets on his hands. That was exciting. That was an NFC Championship game. But this game was boring. I didn't want to win as a win, but this was boring. Super Bowl's supposed to be exciting. It didn't get exciting until the last 53 seconds of the game. When Tom Brady looked like he was going to bring it down. He was going to go in there. He was going to make this an exciting game. And what was the most exciting thing that happened? Hail Mary pass. Missed. Over. That's it. There's nothing else to report. Please, somebody tell me something else that was exciting about this game. It was nothing. There was nothing. Yes, there was running and throwing and running and throwing and sacks and all that stuff. Nothing was exciting about this game. It was a regular old football game. Could have been week four. This wasn't a Super Bowl. Was nothing super about it. It's just a game. I have to admit that this was boring. Now, I'm sure everybody else was excited. I got a couple of emails from people today that just said they got drunk and fell asleep on it. That's how tired it was. And you know it was. You can say whatever it is you want. Yes, a win is a win is a win. You're right. But it's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be compelling. And Madonna should not, a 53-year-old woman lip-syncing to a 20-year-old song, that should not be more exciting than the Super Bowl. Never. But it was. But it was. And let's bring in the Intrepid crew, because they want me to eat crow, so let's get that out of the way now. Let's get the Intrepid
crew. Life is a mystery.
It was awful.
As now, far as I'm concerned, Madonna won the Super Bowl. I was going to ask you, did you catch that in the ratings?
Listen,
you two, the two of you would say that because you
Mary,
two
Mary,
picked
Pat.
They're just mad that they lost.
Guys, let me say this.
Exactly. I didn't even watch the halftime show. I took a nap.
You know what? I did.
Well, good for you.
I was sick as a dog. I had a gorgeous plate of food in front of me. I couldn't taste it, but I watched my old raggedy Madonna. It was a mess. The halftime show was an absolute mess, but it was the highlight of the game.
it was not the highlight of the game. The highlight of the game was the fact that the Giants won.
Yeah.
Listen,
and the fact
it's
that
a win.
I won,
it goes down as a win
won
in the record books. Right, you're right. It'll go down as a win. You got your name printed on shirts. You got a big ticker tape parade coming up tomorrow.
And the fact that I have another edible arrangement coming.
Oh, my gosh. You know what, Mary?
Thanks to JC and his horrible picks. And once again, the chick on the show wins.
And I want to see the DNA on that one. I don't believe she's a chick. I don't believe she's a chick.
Yeah, because nobody should. She's been picking them all. She's been running us into the ground. We can't make one decent pick. Every time I turn around, this girl's been able to pick and win. She's been annihilating us on football picks. I might have to go to her for picks now. I may have to concede that I know anything about.
She's a dude. That's Mark.
I am not a dude, and if I'm a dude, I want DNA from you and Bree. If I'm a dude, then I'll get DNA from you and Reese. You must be chicks.
Yeah, we must be.
I can vouch for the fact that she's a chick.
I'll concede that I must be a chick because I can't make.
I thought we left Friday show alone.
Well, listen, let me ask you this. Guys, let me ask you this. Let's tell the truth. Wasn't this a boring game compared to recent history?
All right.
Well, no, it was not.
It was. I thought it was a pretty good game. It was even.
James, don't you even say
there
it.
There wasn't anybody who ran away with the game.
You're right.
It was both sides showed up. So there's no excuses. No one can say
Excuse me, James. James?
What?
In the first 7 minutes of the game, the Patriots went home.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Patriots gave up that game in the first 7 minutes. They, you know, how in the world? Let me put it to you this way: Tom Brady. Tom Brady did a fool.
A safety in the first.
I'm about to talk about that, James. That's exactly where I was going. If you look at that game, Mark Sanchez, the quarterback of the New York Jets, made a move like that where he threw away the ball inside the end zone. It was called a safety. Now a guy like a 3-year veteran, a 3-year player like Mark Sanchez making a mistake like that. Absolutely acceptable. No, not acceptable, but you can expect it. It's completely expected. But not a three-time Super Bowl, five-time going to the Super Bowl quarterback who's considered one of the most elite in the business, a guaranteed Hall of Famer, does not make a mistake like that. Just doesn't do it. He looked
true.
I admit it was boneheaded,
but it was, you know, you could say it was the only boneheaded play he made.
Well, being said, hold on. It's funny that you should say that. JC, let's play the audio of good old Tom Brady's wife, the Brazilian supermodel, Gisele Bundchen.
Turned NFL coach.
Her now NFL coach and analyst, who broke down what happened to her husband.
Listen closely.
She was livid. She said, how is he supposed to throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time? Now, she's in the hallway getting heckled by Eli fans and Giants fans, and she had had it. She said, I'm there. How is that? How are you supposed to catch the ball? How is my husband supposed to throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time? How is he supposed to do that? How is he supposed to do that? She was irate about
her. You know what else was exciting yesterday? If I can bring it up real quick. You know what else was exciting yesterday? They shut down that little Dominican.
Which one is the Dominican?
Oh,
who are you talking about, Cruz?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
No, they didn't shut him down.
listen to me. Cruz scored the first touchdown of the game, and I have to give it to a local boy in the New York area. The guy's from Paterson, New Jersey. How great is that kid feeling right now?
He's from New Jersey. Well, they play in New Jersey, so I guess he would be local.
Right. Yeah, so he's a local boy in Paterson, New Jersey. He catches his first touchdown ever. It's the first touchdown of the game. That guy's going to be feeling excited. So I'll be honest with you. Victor Cruz was a kid who came out of nowhere. And I like wide receivers like that. The reason why Wayne Corbett from the New York Jets is one of my favorite guys. He was an undrafted pick and became one of the most phenomenal wide receivers in Jets history. And here's Victor Cruz. This guy was phenomenal, had a great year, didn't even go to the Pro Bowl, and had a great year, and has really, really turned out to produce for the Giants. So I respect him. I like
him. Listen,
I mean,
I've heard
your Cinderella story.
Yes, he is. He's a Cinderella story.
So I don't see what wasn't compelling about this game.
Oh,
no, Cinderella story. It was a good, solid game.
Because of him, Lucy's and every Dominican bodega today are half price.
That, my friend, you're going crazy.
The views and opinions expressed by JC.
That was just awful, JC.
Listen, I hated both teams.
Right, I hear you.
I mean, it killed me to raise an arm and say, let's go, who was I going for? Oh, Patriots. That's how bad it was. I can't remember who I was going for in the game. I just know I didn't want neither team to win, and I had no choice.
I hear it. Hey, guys, now another thing.
You had a choice, and you chose wrong.
You did, exactly.
Which reminds me.
For the third week in a row.
Which reminds me, Mr. Hopkins, you still have something to say to me.
I do have something to say to you, but hold on. Before we get there, because I will be doing what I promised. But let's get into one important aspect. What did I say, folks, on Friday's show about the Star Spangled Banner? Does anybody remember?
Yeah, I remember.
The first person was panned in, singing the Star Spangled Banner was going to be the team to lose, and that was Tom Brady.
Himself. Listen to me. I heard so much crap about that. Everybody went and told me that's just a stupid stat. No one's ever said that stat before. I said, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, if the camera pans on a teammate, whoever that teammate is, and he's singing the Star Spangled Banner, he's moving his mouth, that team will lose. Kelly Clarkson starts singing, and sure enough, they go right to Tom Brady, and he's singing, and the Rockets, it's over. That's the first thing I said.
Your heart must have sank to your stomach, man.
My heart sank. As soon as I said it, I just went about this, oh, my God, he's singing the song. He was the last person I expected to see singing the song. But you know what? Here's the theory behind that. Here's why I know that whoever's caught singing that song first, the team's going to lose. Here's why. And this is why I know it happened. If you're singing the Star Spangled Banner at the biggest game of your career, the Super Bowl, you are not focused on the game. You should not even be paying attention to the Star Spangled Banner. What you're thinking about his game
plan? Tom Brady looked dumbfounded the entire game. He looked like Eli used to look 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. I hate that look. Whenever he starts playing bad, he gets that look like I just lost my puppy.
Yes.
But if you notice, Eli has not played like that all year. He has been able to move in the pocket. He's been able to dodge people. No, that's not Eli anymore. He gave that itis right over to Tom Brady.
Look, I give Eli one very important thing. And, James, you'll remember this the last time they went to the Super Bowl. Here's Eli Manning, who's as far as anybody was concerned with the Giants, thought that the Giants' season was over. In December, they were 7-7. They had 14 games under their belt, and they were a 500 team. They had two more games to play. They came back. And they've won every playoff game from a wild card position. A wild card position. They were playing from behind. They won every game as a visitor. And they were the underdog throughout the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And they came back, and I have to admit, they won handedly. But the biggest mistake of that game was allowing Ahmad Bradshaw to run up the middle and score that third touchdown, that third touchdown where he fell into the end zone and New England allowed him to run it because they thought they'd have enough time on the clock. It was a mistake. It should have never happened because your game should never, ever end in a Hail Mary pass. If they thought that was going to happen.
Definitely not in the Super Bowl.
Not in the Super Bowl where you got five defenders and only two Patriots there to pick up that ball.
Regardless of anything, whether it was right or wrong, they should have let it happen. They didn't want to let it happen, but because he thought that somebody was going to try to stop him. And I think he tried to fall, but he fell right into the end zone. Regardless of the fact, it's still a win. It's still the Super Bowl champion, so it does not matter.
But let's talk about the truth. Was that you know this game. You've seen Super Bowls every year. We watch them every year. If you were to rank this, 10 being the most exciting and 1 being the least exciting, where do you got this, Mary? Come on, where do you got this Super Bowl?
It's a 10 because what you said, 1 being the least exciting. I mean, my squad was playing. Do you think I'm going to sit here and say it wasn't exciting? I was excited the whole game. My squad was playing.
Okay.
Giants and Frisco was a far better game.
Take away from the fact that it's your team playing the Super Bowl. I'm just saying
But I can't.
Okay, fine.
Because that gave me my level of excitement.
Okay, I would
hope. That gave me a higher level of excitement than maybe anybody else, than you would have had because you were rooting for the Patriots.
No, that's not why. I didn't root for the Patriots. See, people are missing the point. I didn't root for anybody. My point was I made a pick. A pick is different from rooting. Who did I pick based upon the stats? I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I said the best part about the Super Bowl and the playoff games is when your team is out of the loop, you get to enjoy football for the X's and O's, the sportsmanship, how they play, what they do. I could look at it from an enjoying football stats. So I didn't have any sort of horse in the race. What I'm saying is based on the aspect of football on the gridiron, did this rank high? And it didn't. It was a boring game.
Yeah, well,
I could look at it objectively. You guys, you and James, are Giants fans. So you're rooting and hoping that they win. So you're looking at this thing from an objective point of view. It's very subjective. I want an objective point of view because I don't have a horse in a game, a horse in a race. I can look at this from a football level. And it was
boring. I didn't ask you to consider the game boring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It win or lose, whoever it won, to me, it still would have been boring. There were only two, and I'll give it three dramatic points in that game. One was the Tom Brady safety Eli Manning to Mario Manningham, and I find that almost irony with that amazing catch. You know what I'm saying? It's like Manning to Manningham. I don't know what you can possibly say about that combination, but that catch on the sideline in double coverage. And Manningham was able to catch that ball and get his feet down. That, I'll admit, the high point of that game. And, again, the last 53 seconds where Tom Brady's driving down the field and those three misses by Wes Welker, Hernandez, and Gronkowski. Those were horrible misses. That was the most exciting part of the whole game. That's it. And then we're talking about 3 hours worth of football.
Well, I appreciate your opinion and everybody else's opinion, but my opinion was it was exciting and my boys won.
Yeah, because your adrenaline level was up the entire game.
That's right.
Your team is in there, so that's acceptable.
Of course, I don't disagree with the fact. Of course, if you got a horse in the race, you're going to be excited at no matter what happens. You just want your team to win. Your adrenaline's running high because you want that team to win. And every mistake that's made or a sack that happens or a drop pass or a fumble, you're going to be excited for that. But I think the average viewer who doesn't care about New England or care about the Giants was watching that game and kind of dismayed. It's like, oh, this isn't exciting at all. It was amazing that Madonna's horrible performance last night. Why is she singing like a prayer?
That's all she's got left.
The only thing was missing was Leon's crusty feet for her to kiss.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Where's Leon? Why didn't Leon come out? The only black guy she could find was CeeLo Green? What? Why did Leon come out and reprise his role as the Black Jesus?
You see, though, he's everywhere. You know, they debuted the voice last night.
And so, again, here's another scary part. Why was Madonna on her knees singing to CeeLo? What is with her and her knees? Why is she always falling to her knees? Madonna, we already have.
She's had a lot of practice?
Yes, apparently. Right on the nose. I'm like, get off your knees.
I'm sure they're well calloused.
Well, I think most important parts of the game for me was the coin toss, Madonna, and the Eminem's Brown commercial.
Well, no, we'll talk about the commercials. Save the commercials because we're going to talk about that when we get back. And I want to talk about the Madonna performance that's gotten everybody up in arms. So, okay, first, before we take the break, let me do this thing for James. We'll come back. We'll talk about the controversy from the halftime show that I don't know if you guys heard about, but there's a huge controversy going on about the performance, and we'll talk about that. So, James, what is it that I need to say now so I can get this right?
One is that the Giants are the most underrated team, has been the most underrated team in the history of football.
The Giants have been the most underrated team in the history of football. I agree with you there, by the way.
Rightfully so.
All right. And that the fact that you're a intrepid crew, at least two of us, know more about football than you do.
Okay. This is a tough one. My intrepid crew.
The two of us.
My intrepid crew, with the exception of JC, knows more about football than I do. And it really hurts to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're so perfect, JC. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Okay, lastly. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. I want to talk about the controversy that happened during the halftime show that's got a couple of people up in arms. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I didn't see this, and I want to know whether or not anybody else did. So when we come back, we'll talk about the halftime show, a 53-year-old woman's lip-syncing 20-year-old songs, and why in God's name was she flipping her head between some young boy's leg while breakdancing. We'll get into that when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. and Rick Santorum's Made in the USA Jobs Plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Hey, what's up, guys? We're back. It's Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701, and you can log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com or send an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. There's plenty of things going on. I want to bring the guys in so they can hear this. This was the... There was a voicemail that I got yesterday, so I want you guys to hear it. This is from our good friend Derek, who sent this email. I mean, this voicemail.
I believe in Eli. I believe he can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. I believe he will find a way. I believe she will soar. I will not bring it to the fucking floor. I believe in Eli. I believe in Eli. I believe in Eli.
Yes, that is our good friend Derek, who left a message on my voicemail last night singing, I believe in Eli. Let's bring back in Intrepid Crew talking about. Could you guys hear him singing?
Who knew he had such a good singing voice?
Yeah. I get this voicemail singing, I believe in Eli. I believe he could touch the sky. I'm sort of going, are you kidding me? He's singing. That's giant fans are sick. Anyway, by the way, his singing much better than the halftime show. I don't care what anyone says. way better. You didn't even watch it.
I'm actually enjoying the halftime show now that I'm awake for it.
Yeah. But as many people know, Madonna was the halftime show entertainment. She brought on LMOF, whatever their names are.
LMFAO.
That she brought them on. They were absolutely, I mean, I don't know any of their music. I think I remember one of the songs that they performed that sounds familiar to me, so I'm not really familiar with them as a group. I hear they're kind of hokey and
every
funny.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yeah. I've seen it before. Yeah, they're very popular on the commercial circuit. But she also has this new song with Nicki Minaj and M.I.A., who's from some foreign country. I'm not familiar with where she's from, but apparently she's extremely controversial. She's got this song called Paper Planes. She's got another song. I guess that is Paper Planes. That's the only song I know about her. But the controversy last night, and which was a big deal, was that Madonna had a press conference this past weekend, where she claims that there will be no wardrobe malfunction, regardless of Madonna's recent or I guess yesteryear controversy with her music. So she
No.
Reese, sexual. Yeah, go on.
Reese, that was a stab at Janet Jackson.
Oh yeah, no, I know it was a stab at Janet Jackson. I totally understand that. But she's saying that, you know, Janet Jackson doing a wardrobe malfunction. She's saying that she's not going to try to top that by doing something overtly sexual or anything and all that matters. You can argue that when she falls to her knees in front of CeeLo, but that's another thing. So she has Nicki Minaj, who can be a little racy at times with her lyrics, but this MIA girl, who I'm not very familiar with, other than the time she performed at the Grammys while pregnant, gets up on the stage at, you know, at 150 million people watching, and she flips the middle finger on stage, and the camera caught it.
I'm on that part again right now as we speak.
What's that?
I'm on that part right now as we speak.
Yeah, so apparently she flips the bird while she's on stage, and plenty of groups are outraged by this, saying that we were under the impression that NBC knew better than to have these controversial figures on there, especially people like MIA. This was supposed to be Madonna's halftime show. Who are these girls, and why is this girl flipping the bird on camera? And people in England are saying they can't believe that Americans still consider flipping the bird as offensive. They're saying flipping the bird, you do that all day. That's not an offensive thing to do. Do you guys think it's offensive or not?
Well, geez, you know, they're really going overboard. Ever since the wardrobe malfunction, they've been going overboard to keep it as PG as possible. So I could see that wouldn't be something that you'd want kids seeing, you know, because it's the Super Bowl. You know, a lot of kids are watching. And you know how they imitate things. And if they feel it's okay, you can do it on that big a stage, then you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, but, you know, again, I don't think that... Well, NBC can't control the actions of one knucklehead on live television.
That's right, but don't they have that now, that time delay? The seven-second time delay? They couldn't have edited that out? I'm just not sure how that got through in the first place.
You're absolutely right, because, see, here's the deal. That there was told, everyone was told that Madonna's performance would be on a six-second delay. Now, there's usually a six-second delay in most live broadcasts because, you know, they're worried about people like Bono using the F-word at an award show, which has happened before. The FCC levied, like, a $375,000 fine on CBS during the Grammys at one particular point. But do you think that in this particular case they should fine NBC? Or should they do, like, JC, you remember this. Back in 2005 when I was part of the Star and Book Wild show, we had people sign a contract on our show that said if any fines were levied to the station, that the person responsible for cursing on the air, If we were fine, we'd pass that right on to the performer.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, to me, I would say if I got fined that amount of money, I'm passing that on to her to pay.
Yeah. I still think it's both. She shouldn't have done it anyway. I mean, there was no reason for that.
Well,
other than to garner attention, you know? I mean, obviously it was a lackluster performance, so I guess she figured she'd have to spice it up somehow, or just to self-aggrandize herself, you know, to sort of upstage Madonna.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
so.
But see, this is a problem that I have with trying to stay current. In like, you know, the Super Bowl doesn't need to be current. The performers come out there and do their performance, the halftime show, do a halftime show, the spectacular, whatever it is they have to do. But we don't need the, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't think rappers in any aspect should be a part of the halftime show in the Super Bowl. I don't see why not.
I mean, they're performers like anybody else, but on the same token, I don't see flipping a bird as derogatory. I mean, they're taking away the actual curse words themselves. Okay, that's fine and dandy. I mean, I have my own feelings about that as well. But come on, I mean, that's way, way too much censorship.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's an interesting thing.
We're talking flipping a bird.
In one of her lyrics, she uses the S word, and they replace the S word with the sound of a gunshot. And I'm like, that's what? How do you?
Yeah, that's.
That's not
that
better.
Didn't even make it. That was an oxymoron.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm going, what? Like, why would you even do that? That's ridiculous. But I believe that if you're going to have an artist perform, you have to, one, I'm not saying censor the artist, but if the artist has music that's obviously inflammatory or uses a certain language, I don't think that person should be able to perform. I don't think
well,
they should be able to perform at
especially
all.
Especially on a family-oriented show like the Super Bowl, because that's, I mean, over the years, that's, well, since its inception, it's only been a family deal, a night for the family to get together with friends.
Right, it's America's unofficial holiday. It's America's unofficial holiday.
Yeah, it's an unofficial holiday, but you know, they encourage drinking for the Super Bowl. Hell, some of the, well, I don't want to get back into the commercials, but hell, I mean, Budweiser itself has been one of the biggest sponsors of the Super Bowl since time began.
You know what? And I agree with you because there's something, and we'll go into one commercial that absolutely makes your point. I thought it was an inappropriate commercial for Budweiser to do that commercial about Prohibition. One of Budweiser's commercials was talking about how alcohol, you know, through Prohibition and how things have changed. Now people can drink beer. It's almost a political statement, but it's kind of encouraging drinking. And I agree with you there, JC, is that, look, if they're going to encourage alcohol, flipping the bird shouldn't be all that bad.
Right.
You know, all
I still think it has to do with the artists themselves. I mean, you know what kind of show you're dealing with. You know what kind of audience is going to be there. For you to make that kind of a statement, or, you know, just make that kind of a boneheaded move, it's just, I mean, it's unprofessional.
It was unnecessary. I mean, who was she flipping the bird to anyway? She was only doing it to get the she wanted there to be controversy so that it's a good marketing tool, and that's sad that you have to use that as a marketing tool.
But don't you think in a lot of ways, Mary, that what she did, you know, as James pointed out, James said it was unprofessional. This being said, and being an artist, that, you know, a lot of people may not know who you are and what you do, and you are trying to appeal to a broader audience. That's the reason why you come there to perform. There are people who are there at the Super Bowl, who are watching the Super Bowl, who may not know who MIA is, and they may like her, think she's, you know, she's entertaining in any way. And then she does that sort of like regardless of the fact that there are children watching. And I think not just irresponsible on her part, but sort of like I don't care attitude.
The thing is that, okay, so I know, I don't know a whole lot about her background, but I have heard of her. I do know who she is. She is actually pretty popular with younger people. So, I mean, not my forte. There may be, you know, a hit record that she has out there on the, you know, top 100 or whatever that I hear on the radio every now and then. But her and Nicki Minaj both, well, all three of them are racy, you know, in themselves. So they shouldn't, I mean, if the Super Bowl, if NBC was so worried about, you know, something happening, they shouldn't even have let Nicki Minaj or MIA perform with Madonna.
Her last name alone shouldn't have got on primetime TV on an event such as the Super Bowl. Minaj?
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. I know, exactly. I mean,
my name is Nicki Threesome. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree with you there. But, again, that's because the Super Bowl has done this thing. I guess the NFL has tried to stay popular or tried to stay just try to stay with the mainstream, try to do popular music. They don't want the people to be bored. But then I make that same argument. Why bring on a 53-year-old Madonna to sing a 20-year-old song like a prayer? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, CeeLo Green had a popular song, 2 years ago that was called F.U.
One of my favorites.
And I'm saying, like, how is it, anyway, that considered mainstream or acceptable for those singers to be there? I think that we've run out of entertainers who have clean music to put on the air. It showed where our popular music has gone.
I mean, well, if you remember, I believe it was on the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
He had sang the song F You with
Gwyneth Paltrow,
surrounded by Muppet characters.
Right. Absolutely.
The whole cast of the Muppets.
Again, it is true. Yes, that's exactly what it was. It was an entire Muppet cast performing. It had an Animal's band. Animal was playing drums from the Muppet Show, which is, you know, for me, it's like sort of like saying we're trying to keep it, you know, clean for kids, and at the same time, we have an artist who's singing a song that's obviously inflammatory. I just don't understand it. You know, I guess no one would have cared if Michael Bublé had performed. That would have been corny to them. You know, that would have been too slow and, you know, too boring. You know, he couldn't put on an electric light show. This is the reason why we had to resort to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and The Who.
Move your mic, buddy.
Paul McCartney, and I was about to make that point that, you know, they have to do something now. So it's just the hint of raciness is a draw, because for the last couple of years, the halftime show, actually ever since the wardrobe malfunction and their fervor to whitewash the halftime show, it's tanked, and it's gone steadily down year after year.
Can you think of any other group that could have performed that would have been
last the year
that
they
today?
Put Prince up there, remember?
Yes, they did. They put Prince up there.
And Prince up there with no underwear and loose silk pajamas.
There's a few good groups that could have gone up there and did, you know, a good show and have been exciting and been able to do a light show and all that. What is her
Bouncy?
Name? Oh my God.
Beyonce, whatever.
Well, yeah,
but nonsense.
Know. Yeah, yeah, but Beyonce would have been a good draw, but she just had her baby. Don't forget how many people panned the Black Eyed Peas performance at last year's Super Bowl. They brought out Usher. Black Eyed Peas were the headliner, but they brought out Usher. He performed, and the Black Eyed Peas didn't really do anything controversial, except for one of the songs. I believe Will I Am said something political in his performance. I think that got a lot of controversy. But they also said that the problem that they have with the Black Eyed Peas was that it was just so overly produced with all the laser lights and the everybody is wearing Day Glow or whatever they're wearing on the stage.
Did you see this whole Madonna stage?
That's the Black Eyed Peas signature. That's what they do. Everything they do is over the top.
Right, exactly. Exactly. What were you saying, JC?
Did you see Madonna's stage?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking the whole time now. I kind of follow, like, stage and lighting. Because I can't believe the money that's wasted on stage and lighting for performances. And I don't mean to bring in pro wrestling, but as you know, with every pay-per-view, they have a different stage setup. And it costs millions of dollars to put those stages together. And I don't know, I've been trying to figure out, is there a huge factory with all these stages, pieces there, and they just piece them together as they go along, or if they're building them or designing them and building them from scratch, because that's a lot of damn money wasted. I mean, a lot of money wasted for one night's performance.
A crappy ticket at the Super Bowl was going for $2,000. A crappy ticket.
Yeah, so,
I'm paying that much. I want a little spectacle. I don't want somebody just sitting there with a spotlight and a piano. I paid a lot of money for this.
or jumping up and down on a trampoline.
Sure. I want what is it? Cirque du Soleil.
James, you took the words right out of my mouth. See, that's what I would have done. I would have had, like, the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show just came out recently. I would have done that.
Yeah.
I would have remembered Michael Jackson and showed those people on stage doing those wild flips and the contortions.
And some big video walls.
It would have been just as exciting. Again, I mean, and this silly little song that Madonna performed with Nicki Minaj and M.I.A., L. Oh, V, you know, it's like, it was...
I don't want to spell.
Yeah.
I need a spelling lesson. I really don't. I'm drunk. I don't want to think.
Absolutely. It was, you know...
Am I being graded?
Yeah. But, okay, now, two of you didn't watch the halftime show. Did you watch the halftime show, James? You didn't watch it?
No. I was too busy throwing my Super Bowl party.
Okay, now if I may ask, what made you not interested in the Super Bowl party? Was it Madonna or that you don't watch them at all?
I just don't watch them anymore. I really don't. I mean, they're
that's break time.
For me, it's this fervor to whitewash it now, and then they're putting up people that haven't been relevant in years.
Right.
And it's just...
Well, I happen to be a Madonna fan.
Oh, really?
I'm a Madonna fan, too. I've been, you know, I used to walk around with, like, little lace gloves when I was a kid and all the, you know, rubber stuff, all the little rubber bracelets and all that good stuff. I was a Madonna fan, too, but she's done and over with. I mean, she's washed out.
I won't even say she's done and over with. I respect, not only am I a fan, but I respect her.
Okay.
And I have a lot of respect for her because of what she's been able to do in music. A lot of people will say, she's obviously a pop culture icon because of her music, but I respect her more so because at a time when Michael Jackson and Prince was a beast in music, she somehow remained relevant.
Oh, yes, she's all, I give her that. You're absolutely right, JC. I give her that. She's always been relevant. She's relevant enough for them to choose her to do the halftime show. I mean, I think, you know, Madonna, when she was chosen to do the halftime show, it created buzz. Of course it did. You know, because she is Madonna. She's iconic. I agree with that. I can't rag on her for being iconic. As much as you like her or don't like her, she's iconic. She deserves it. But I just don't think that she's relevant. I don't think she's relevant to football, if you get my meaning.
Right.
Not at all.
Who do you bring in? Garth Brooks?
No, you got to bring in a popular rock band that's... I don't know a lot of rock bands.
Rock is
know a few.
Dead.
Rock is dead.
Who would you bring in? Van Halen?
They could have brought in...
I've watched their videos at the WA, and I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed.
They could have brought in what's-his-name from The Voice, the one of the guys from The Voice.
Oh, Adam Levine.
They could have brought in Adam Levine.
Was he with Three Doors Down?
No. Adam Levine is the lead singer of Maroon 5.
I know one of them.
Maroon 5. They've got a very, very popular song. I've got Moves Like Jagger. It's a great song. Hey, I'd have brought in Coldplay. Coldplay is extremely popular. But they are.
They're too current for that.
But they were a good band.
But they are current.
Here's the problem with that.
Maroon 5 is current. Coldplay is current.
How many rock fans do you think are actual football fans?
I would beg to differ that it was that rock fans don't watch the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is, even if you don't watch football, and I'll give you a survey that I heard about this morning. What I know about football, and again, when we said about it's America's unofficial holiday, most people watch that game because there's some sort of festivity involved in it. And even if they're not familiar with the game, people go in because they're having a party. It's Sunday. People are going. Yeah, I know most people are sitting around going, and what does this play? What does this team do? And who are they? And why are they relevant? Guys bring their girlfriends to people's houses. Girls who have never watched football before, even some guys who have never watched football before, will go to those parties because it's a get together. I mean, it's an event, so to speak.
I had people texting me last night. Congrats, I've never heard these people talk about football. I was like, wow, you watch the Super Bowl? You know who's even playing and who won?
Yeah, exactly. So, again, there's a lot of people who won't watch football until the playoffs. Just like a lot of people who don't watch, they don't even watch regular, there are people who don't watch regular season basketball, but when the playoffs and when the finals happen, they watch those. So, you know, those things are extremely popular because it's the final game of the season. A lot of celebrities are involved. You know, that there's that aspect of it.
Well, so, I personally can't wait till next season.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that because I have got to talk about the football blues because they are really, really taking a hold on me today. Really, really taking a hold. It's six months with no football, and, you know, it's going to be, for me personally, tragic. That's just me. I think it's going to be tragic. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl commercials, which ones were good, which ones were bad, and the ones also creating some controversy, like the fact that Chrysler stole my halftime line. They stole it. We come back. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a little bit. It's Reese on the radio. I'm really, really offended that this happened, to be honest with you. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires.
So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in Jesus' mother's soul, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back live here on blogtalkradio.com. The number is 347-308-8701. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. And you can also log on to www.reeseontheradio.com. And check out the site and send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Plenty of things, of course, happened yesterday at America's unofficial holiday, the Super Bowl, I don't know. Everything more or less was happening in and around the Super Bowl. It seems like more stories are happening after the effect of the Super Bowl. There's nothing, no one's talking about the actual game other than, again, as I mentioned, the amazing catch by Mario Manningham from Eli Manning on the sideline. That was the pretty big headline of the fact that the Giants had won. There has been a slew of controversy surrounding Super Bowl ads. And the Super Bowl ads that have been creating the most controversy, I want to play one. And I want to bring, I got to bring in the crew for this one, because I don't know whether or not you guys heard this particular Super Bowl. I mean, this particular Super Bowl commercial that ran locally in Michigan. The reason why it got some controversy is because of the ad showed an Asian woman on a bicycle talk about the election in that state. Now, apparently, Michigan Republican Pete Hoekstra, who's running for U.S. Senate, his campaign is drawing plenty of day-after attention from the national media groups who called his ad racially insensitive. The ad, which ran statewide during the Super Bowl, features a young Asian woman riding a bike through a field of rice paddies, and speaking in broken English while thanking Hoekstra's opponent, Democratic incumbent Debbie Stabenow, and maybe I have her name pronounced wrong, but it's Stabenow, anyway, for her reckless spending. And it's creating some controversy because, listen to the ad, and then I'll explain why they're upset about it. Well, by the way, Hoekstra is running on the fact that Stabenow, whatever her name is, has been a tax and spend reckless incumbent. And her nickname has now become Spend It Now. And the Asian American is talking to Debbie Stabenow and calling her Spend It Now. But listen to the ad.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spend It Now. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy gets very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spend It Now.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spend It Now and Pete Spend It Not. I'm Pete Spend It Not Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
So groups are upset because the Asian woman is speaking broken English. And according to the people who are upset, they're saying that that the ad is racist because the Asian woman who's supposed to be from China is speaking broken English. And that in some way is racist. Now, if you have to listen to it again, fine, I will play it, but just listen.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spend It Now. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy gets very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spend It Now.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spend It Now and Pete Spend It Not. I'm Pete Spend It Not Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
So because it's supposed to be a Chinese woman, of course, talking about spending money, owing China more money, we take your jobs. I mean, it's not overtly, I mean, she's not using like the Fu Manchu sort of, you know, oh, Debbie, spend it now. We spend all your money. You spend all your money, you buy over here. She's not using any of that. But because she's using broken English, they're saying that this ad is racist because of that. Because she's Chinese. Do you find, in any way, guys, do you find this racist?
I find it odd. I mean, who came up with that marketing strategy? To have some Chinese woman riding a bike, first of all, riding a bike. That's what most Chinese people do, ride
according
bikes around.
According to stereotype.
Right.
In a rice cake field, is that what you said?
A rice paddy.
Rice paddy feel. Yeah.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
I want to see this commercial because it sounds hilarious.
I'll link it to you.
You gotta link.
Yeah,
it.
Please send it to me too. Because wow, she's beautiful.
Who came up with this? I want to know who came up with this commercial. Who's behind the idea of of this ad? It is so funny. But do I think I think that it's stupid. I don't even think that it's racist. It's just stupid.
Well, I think it's very stereotypical, and it's insulting. I mean, the only thing she didn't say, the only thing they left out was, you know, thank you, Senator Spend It Now. We love you a long time. I mean, that's the only thing they didn't put in there.
That movie was on last night, too.
First of all, that's a Vietnamese.
You know, Reed, you buy.
That's a very, first of all, that's a Vietnamese line, not a Chinese line.
Whatever.
It's all the same.
They all look alike to me anyway. No.
No, and you know the only thing really missing from this commercial?
What's that?
That would have made it really, really racist. If they weren't putting the web address down at the bottom on the lower third, had they subtitled it?
Oh. Subtitled it.
That would have probably.
Is she wearing one of those little bamboo hats?
No, she's gorgeous.
She's a beautiful girl, but the way that she speaks, they're saying that it's broken because it's broken English as a Chinese person. They're saying the broken English is insensitive. But he's making a valid point. He's saying that the more money you spend, the more you're borrowing from China. You make our economy very rich while yours very poor.
Right.
And they're saying that using that stereotype of how Chinese people talk, you know, is stereotypical. But I would go to any, you know, first-generation Chinese here in the country. Dude,
if English is your second language, you talk like that.
Yes, that's my point. I think that's what his point is like, here's a Chinese person trying to talk to an American, and she's speaking the best English that she can, so it's a little broken. And someone made the reference that said they probably, if they were making a reference to black people, would the black person be talking jive? And I'm going, what the hell does that even matter?
Probably.
Oh, come on. You got... So, James, you think that this is insensitive?
I think it's very stereotypical. I think it's very stereotypical.
But is it insensitive? But is it insensitive?
Yeah, it was insensitive.
Insensitive?
It was insensitive.
Yeah, I think somebody. It was made to ruffle some feathers. And it did that. So, yeah, it's insensitive.
To ruffle some rice cakes.
Well, she didn't. She was
riding to a rice patty.
Yeah, she's riding
to my rice patty field.
I'll admit, it's a little over the top, but he's trying to make
it should have been raining vegetables.
And it's stupid. I mean, okay, if you're telling her, you're telling this woman that you spend all your money here, our economy is really strong, and the only thing you can afford is a ride, is a bike, through a rice pack.
That's a valid point. James, that is a valid point. That is valid. Okay.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spendetnow. Debbie spends so much American money, you borrow more and more from us. Your economy get very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spendetnow.
I think this race for U.S.
Your economy get very weak. Ours get very strong.
James?
And yeah. I think that it's funny that she speaks kind of just with a little accent, but she speaks okay in the beginning and in the end, but in the middle, she speaks like she can't put a sentence together.
Yes, exactly. You buy now! Yeah.
Melissa,
you know, Rudy, you buy.
Melissa, and they got to ride it in one of them old truck style bikes, like a really old truck style bike.
Yes, it is.
Is there a basket in the front?
No basket.
No basket. There should be a basket.
Yeah, how much money are we actually spending?
There should be a wire basket.
Yeah, I think so.
With some brown paper bags with some Chinese food cards.
I think James make it. It's very, very accurate.
And a receipt stapled to the outside.
Oh, my God. The racism in here. Oh, my
God. What's a little grease thing coming through one of the bags?
He needs to be wearing a gi with a little golden dragon on the back.
It's such a poorly produced commercial, and it's done with a very good camera. It's done with a very good camera. I mean, she don't even have on sandals. She's got on sneakers.
Yeah, but James makes a valid point. Here's a woman talking about how you make our economy very good, and she's on a bike. You know. That's a valid.
I'm not that worried.
I think it has the opposite effect.
And before they show her riding down on a bike, they're panning like the rice field, and you got people out there picking rice.
Her argument. The argument here that could be made is she should have a little sticker on her bike that should say, "My last vehicle was my feet."
People are terrible.
Oh, nah, she should have those
my feet.
No, she should have the wicker basket and have those little sabots in there. You know, the little sandals. Little wooden sandals.
Yeah.
It's like with
a bun with chopsticks holding the bun together.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you guys that it's somewhat offensive, but you know me. The more racist, the more I love it.
I just find it so funny that was in Michigan. Like, what is the Chinese population in Michigan?
Oh, I'm going to have to look that. JC, we should look that up. We got to find out what their Asian population
like,
is.
Are there a lot of Asians there?
There probably are.
Well, as far as Asians
love cheese, too.
No, that's Wisconsin. That's Wisconsin.
My bad. Boo-boo. Blonde moment.
Well, it's in Michigan. It's in, you know, Detroit's right by it. So, you know, there's got to be some car company there. You know, there's got to be some...
No, Detroit is number two on one of the worst cities to live in, remember?
It's funny that you guys bring up Detroit, Michigan, because another ad that ran last night during the Super Bowl has also created controversy.
Clint Eastwood.
JC played a Clint Eastwood piece, and I have a personal beef with it because I think that the Chrysler Corporation stole a monologue that I gave here on this show. Maybe 3-4 weeks ago. JC, play for that.
It's halftime. Both teams are in their locker room discussing what they can do to win this game in the second half. It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game. The people of Detroit know a little something about this. They almost lost everything. But we all pull together. Now Motor City is fighting again. I've seen a lot of tough eras, a lot of downturns in my life, times when we didn't understand each other. It seems that we've lost our heart at times. The fog of division, discord, and blame made it hard to see what lies ahead. But after those trials, we all rallied around what was right and acted as one. Because that's what we do. We find a way through tough times, and if we can't find a way, then we'll make one. All that matters now is what's ahead. How do we come from behind? How do we come together? And how do we win? Detroit's showing us it can be done. And what's true about them is true about all of us. This country can't be knocked out in one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. Yeah, it's halftime, America. And our second half's about to begin.
Now, let me say this about the commercial. I have to be honest with you. When I saw it, I was ready to stand up and cheer.
Yep.
I have to admit that. I saw that. I have to admit, I wanted to stand up and cheer. One, because, look, I'm not Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's got a distinct voice. He's got a mannerism. He's got that bravado that you really, really love. He's got that manly sort of... He's an old guy, but he's got that... Oh, he's got...
The old war horse.
Yeah, the old war horse, exactly. That's exactly what he is. So, now, I have to admit, I was a little ticked off the fact that they took my halftime moniker, you know, which I took from another guy. But the point was, it was mine.
stole it fair and square.
I stole it first. This guy was an idiot.
He sounded like a porn commercial or something. I mean, I was so troubled by the way that he was whispering. I was like, what is that? I mean,
no, he didn't.
I didn't get that at all. I wanted to put on my helmet, run outside, get some cleats, and go play a game. He sounded like Newt Rockne, the coach. I mean, the commercial did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Absolutely.
It was a halftime speech from the old jaded coach.
Right.
And you went out and you won the big game.
I
stood up and put my hand over my heart.
I thought there was plenty of footsteps.
I didn't see the commercial. Maybe if I saw it, then it would have been different. But from just listening to that, I was like, I'm a little troubled by this.
No. It's a speech that sort of says, look, right now America's down, and you know, but we're not beaten. And I got that same thing. I gave the same speech here on this show talking about halftime and what that meant. You know, it's like, you know, being, you know, what I talked about being incarcerated and the second half of my life is going out there and going out there to win, finding out all the things you needed to find out how to win. And I got that from that. That's the reason why I was so impressed by it. But did you hear of the controversy that happened was that, one, this was a Chrysler commercial. And the Chrysler company was bailed out by the U.S. government. And because it was bailed out by the U.S. government, when the White House, David Axelrod, who was the former White House chief of staff for Barack Obama, saw the commercial, he tweeted that he was really, really excited about the commercial. Let me just break down what the article said. It said, following the fallout over the controversial Chrysler Super Bowl halftime ad, Clint Eastwood spoke exclusively with the O'Reilly Factor's producer, Ron Mitchell. Now, here's what happened that created the sort of backlash. The Obama campaign strategist, David Axelrod, tweeted his support for last night's ad when asked about it on Fox News. The former George W. Bush advisor, Karl Rove, said that he was offended by the ad and accused the Obama's political minions for using tax dollars to buy corporate advertising. White House spokesman Jay Carney insisted at today's briefing that there was no involvement by the administration to put this ad out. Clint Eastwood, on the other hand, released his own statement and said, I just want to say that the spin stops here with you guys, and there is no spin in that ad. On this, I am certain. I'm certainly not politically affiliated with Mr. Obama. It was meant to be a message about job growth and the spirit of America. Mm-hmm. I think all politicians will agree with it. I thought the spirit was okay. I am not supporting any politician at this time. Chrysler, to their credit, didn't even have cars in the ad. Anything they gave me for this ad went to charity. If any Obama or any other politician wants to run with the spirit of that ad, go for it. Now, he's saying he had nothing with any political, you know, drive toward this campaign, and I agree. I don't like the fact that it was a Chrysler ad that got bailed out by the U.S. government, but the message sent a message to me, and I agree with it. It is halftime, America, and the decisions that we make will change this country. But because it was with Chrysler, people are saying that it was Chrysler doing an ad that was supporting Barack Obama, and it was partisan. That's the issue. Do you agree or disagree?
No, not at all. There was nothing in that. I mean, it was just the fact that, okay, yes, the company was down. It got helped out. It's up. It paid its bills back. It's on its feet again. It's flush. And you can use that model for the rest of our country's woes. I don't think that, I mean, there was nothing partisan about it.
But they're saying the partisanship came based upon the fact that this company got a bailout from Obama, and they're making some association. You don't think that that's fair to make? You don't think that is
that
fair?
No, well, no, because nowhere in the commercial did they make any association to Obama. Regardless
fair enough.
Whether they got a bailout from Obama or not.
Okay, I'm in agreement here. And again, most people would think that I would be partisan on this and say, oh yeah, this is Obama's workings. And I don't agree with that because I know Clint Eastwood, and I know his political leanings. He's actually a Republican. I think what he was talking about was truly halftime in America. It's time to.
It wouldn't have mattered whether he was Republican or Democrat anyway, because even the Democrats ain't voting for Obama.
Well, that may be true.
Wow.
I know James is not happy about that. But,
OMG.
But again, I thought that was I thought that it was poignant nonetheless. I still love the message. To be honest with you, I don't care where it came from. It was cheated. It was one of my favorite commercials of the night. Speaking of which, anybody got a commercial favorite that happened during the Super Bowl last night?
Well, I just want to talk about I was disappointed with all the commercials in general, just across the board, because most of them we saw before the Super Bowl.
I agree with you.
When did that happen?
I agree with you, James. There was no surprise. No surprise.
There was no surprise. When did that happen? I mean, what? Wait a minute. I just saw this last week.
Yeah, you know what it is? It was what I call, it was social media overload. It destroyed the spontaneity of watching Super Bowl ads because we got so much buzz on everything else. As we talked about the Matthew Broderick, Ferris Bueller's Day Off commercial. By that time, the thrill was gone. I didn't need to see it again.
Before we go on,
pardon?
Michigan's population, 9,876,187. Percentage of Asians in Michigan, 2.4%.
That's a large number. That's a large number for Michigan. We only got 9 million people. That's a large number.
Yeah, that is huge.
That is huge. That's close to that's a mil and a half. That's at least a mil and a half.
I wonder if they'll be moving out of Michigan now.
No, they're not going to be moving out of there. Okay, but so no commercial. How about Man's Best Friend, the Dorito commercial? Did you find that entertaining?
No.
No one remembers that commercial?
I enjoyed the M&M commercial.
Which one was this? Which one was this?
Okay.
Man's
Best Friend. It was a Dorito commercial. Doritos has been doing this ad campaign where they've been getting regular people to do ads on, like, literally shoestring budgets. And they turned them into Doritos ad. And the Man's Best Friend was the Great Dane. The Great Dane had buried the cat, and he was paying off.
I saw that one. You didn't see nothing.
Yeah, you didn't see nothing. Yeah. He wrote on a sticky pad. But that one was actually funny. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that the Jay Leno Jerry Seinfeld ad was okay.
Oh, yeah.
It was so long. It was 2 minutes long. A 2 minute long commercial. It had some funny points in it. It was okay. I don't think anything outshined anyone. I think that the winner of the night was the dog getting into shape for the Volkswagen.
Yeah. For the Volkswagen.
The one with the sneakers on?
No, that was the Skechers commercial. No, this was
that couldn't fit through the doggy door.
The dog couldn't fit through the doggy door because he was overweight, and then you see him working out to lose weight. And then he runs out, and he finally chases the Volkswagen, and then it pans away, and it's at the Star Wars bar, Star Wars, and the one of the characters from Star Wars, A New Hope, they're talking about the Vader kid wasn't as fun as the dog, and that was probably the most, I thought that was the most entertaining out of all of them. I watched all of them online.
I like the M&M.
You like the M&M's commercial?
I like all M&M commercials. I'm an M&M
that
freak.
That one was pretty funny.
I've actually started collecting them.
Collecting M&M?
Yeah. Yeah, the M's, yeah. I guess. McGee.
We are collecting M&M's where? In your stomach?
Mary.
I mean, if you collect M&M's...
No, we're talking about the dolls and the M&M collectibles.
Yeah,
You're collecting M&M dolls.
So
I would have
let the saving M&Ms in your stomach thing fly. I wouldn't have revealed that you had the dolls. Probably would not have. I'm just saying for you.
Are you gonna collect
a big bag of beanies.
I wouldn't have revealed that.
Yeah, I'm
you're
gonna
collecting
have to
beanie.
Card.
Wait. You're collecting Beanie Baby M&Ms.
No. I still have Beanie Babies from 10 years ago.
Oh my God! Can we? We need a DNA test on aisle 3, please.
That was an unmanly thing, number 2.
That is sad.
You gotta do something to get your man card back.
Another interesting thing about the and last night, which I found, I don't want to say odd, but most of the ads that ran last night that we had already seen prior to, was they did a lot of movies last night. Did anybody catch all the movies that they were showing?
Battleship looks pretty good.
Avengers.
Avengers. Oh yes, definitely Avengers.
Yeah, I cannot believe you said Battleship out loud.
It does look pretty good, though.
Okay.
You know, I like Robert Downey Jr. The guy says, well, I have an army, and he's like, we got the Hulk.
I'm very excited about that. I don't know about Vince John Carter. I'm not interested in that.
I don't even know who this John Carter is supposed to be.
I don't know what that's about, I think it's Walt Disney's version of Avatar. I think it was awful. Even the G.I. Joe commercial, the only thing that's interesting about that is that now we know Bruce Willis is in it, so maybe that'll be entertaining. That was a joke. There's a lot to be desired in the ads this year. I can't say that anything stuck out, like other than the aforementioned the dog from the Volkswagen commercial. That was the best on the list for me. MetLife bringing in Voltron was not... I thought that was corny. I think only our generation can totally appreciate Voltron in any aspect or any context. I don't think any other kid saw that and said, who the hell is the big giant robot? I don't think anybody cared. that in and of itself was a joke. Nobody else seemed to stand out in my book.
I was a Transfer Z fan.
Yeah, it was disappointing. There was a lot of them really, except for the ones we mentioned, a lot of the other ones, you know, they just paid a lot of money for nothing. There was nothing inspired by it. You spent a lot of money for a commercial that you could have done any other day of the week.
Well, I will tell you something. This is something that I wanted to mention before. We were talking about the Clint Eastwood ad. This story I found to be very, very troubling. That this was reported in the Weekly Standard today, that the spot by Clint Eastwood and Halftime in America... It's supposed to be encouraging people about the resilience of Detroit, because that's where Chrysler is based. It turns out that the actual footage of the commercial
was shot somewhere else.
Oh, yes, it was. It turns out that they filmed it in New Orleans and Los Angeles.
They had to use two different spots to film that?
Two different cities that are not even associated with Detroit.
I don't understand that. I don't. What was it, cheaper? Well, it's Detroit.
You'd be surprised at where they film a lot of our television shows.
Our major cities aren't done in our major cities.
But if you're supposed to be filming the resilience of Detroit, why go to New Orleans and Los Angeles in order to film... Those, I mean, come on.
Because Detroit looks like a wasteland, dude.
He should have been an 8 Mile recording that.
Yeah, it looks like a wasteland.
Well, I agree with you, JC, and you're right.
But the whole point is that they're resilient, and they're up and coming, I guess.
Yeah, in other words,
I don't know. I guess if you're gonna try to make an uplifting commercial, you don't want to show depressing sights. I don't get it. Let everybody go.
Your audio is breaking up.
I'm still here.
Yeah, your audio is turning out.
The last part of our Super Bowl coverage when we come back. Then we'll talk about some other things that are happening in the news. Is Israel going to war with Iran? And what should we do about it, considering that we have probably one of the weakest presidents when it comes to war, Barack Obama, when we return, it's Reese on the radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com.
That's right. WeSellTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.WeSellTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
All right, we're back at Reese on the Radio live here on Talk Radio. We're, of course, recapping the Super Bowl right here with my work Super Bowl in recent years. Those of you who are giant fans of the team, didn't mind so much that it was boring, team won. So everything that happened is important to you and help. Again, I didn't have a horse in the race, so I didn't really care.
Move your mic a little bit, man.
About that. I was only impressed. Me personally, I was impressed by what I would consider one of the best performances of the Star Spangled Banner since Miss Whitney Houston, pre-Bobby Brown. And a lot of people remember that performance. It was, I'm almost certain that that game was the Giants versus the Buffalo Bills. I'm almost positive that that was the Super Bowl that she performed that. And it was, you know, the video pans to the fans and the players and Whitney Houston and throwing up her arms, you know, when she sings the last part and the whole of the bread. Yeah, you know the whole thing. It was, you know, it's an amazing thing. But Kelly Clarkson's performance last, just drums, no music, no horns, no nothing, just drums. I have to admit, was melodic because she carried that entire song. It doesn't need the Star Spangled Banner, the words in and of itself, they don't need a lot of music behind it. Whoever's singing the song should be able to nail it. And if her voice is booming, if her voice is capable, she's going to do what it is that needs to be done to make that song sing. JC, let's just play. My hair on the back of my neck stood up. Let's play that.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight?
No song has ever made me want to go to war more than Kelly Clarkson's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. I want to destroy everybody. I'm being completely honest with you. I heard her sing that song, and I knew I was living in the most powerful and the most beloved nation that God ever placed on this green earth. I knew it when I heard that. But sadly, folks, I have to let you in on a little secret. The reason why Kelly Clarkson gave such a rousing performance is because she was karaokeing. Yes, she was. Did anybody witness it? Did you witness the karaoke aspect of the Star Spangled Banner by Kelly Clarkson? Now, what do I mean by karaoke? No, it's not that she had some overlay of her other vocals. She sang that live. There's no argument there. But does anybody know what karaoke aspect happened during the Super Bowl? Let's bring in the Intrepid crew.
Did they have the words anybody? Somewhere for her that she was reading?
Exactly. On one of the on one of the video screens that was sitting in front of her before she began to sing, right on the top, I mean, it was the upper deck, I want to say above the mezzanine, the words, "Oh, say, can you see," were sitting there. As she began to sing, the words were scrolling across the screen.
Well, I mean, they're sick and tired of these artists not getting it right.
And that's... I believe that is exactly what it was. I think that the NFL had gotten so sick and tired of the bashing that had happened with Christina Aguilera, with Steven Tyler recently, completely botching up the words, and they just said, look, we're going to have to karaoke this thing and just put the lyrics up for these people. They don't know the words. So my question to you guys is, does that diminish it, or does that make it better?
I mean, you can't take anything away from the way that she sang that. That was one of the best renditions that I've ever heard.
In a long time, yeah.
I mean, I can go back. I have to say that was, you know, that was 1990 was when, you know, maybe 86. I'm almost certain it was 1990 when Whitney Houston did that performance, which was heavily panned because they said she lip-synced it. But I don't think we've seen a better performance since then.
Up until Kelly Clarkson, I thought Leanne Rimes was probably one of the best. Kelly Clarkson.
I never heard of Leanne Rimes.
Leanne Rimes. She's pretty good with it. And she was a little younger, too, than she is now.
That's true. But, I mean, have we really, really come to the point where we actually have to put up the words to the song because people don't know it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess from what we've seen so far with the butchery that's happened in this song, I guess in some ways we kind of have to put the words up for them to sing the song.
Listen, I mean...
Are you sure it was for her and not, like, the people in the crowd? I mean, it is a big multi-ethnic crowd, you know.
Well,
so,
they're
people
not
come
the
from
ones...
all over the world to see the Super Bowl.
Then it's
a
coincidence. If that's the case, then it's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah,
I've never
really
seen that before.
Did you see her looking at it?
I saw her looking at it.
Well, then
she was obviously reading it. She had to be reading it because there's been such a debacle of this song and people are agree. You've got to be nervous singing the Star Spangled Banner in front of all of these people.
Nervous?
No matter how
these people sing in front of big crowds all the time. Some of these songs they sing different songs, a different song at different nights, you know.
I agree with you.
It's the national anthem.
I agree with you, but James, It's one thing to sing in front of Wembley Stadium, which is huge, or Giant Stadium, and do that song. But you're doing it for the audience there and the millions upon millions watching at home.
Yeah, the hundreds of millions watching it at home.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a bigger crowd.
I think the NFL took an active role in making sure that we weren't going to have, because if you think about it, Steven Tyler got more press behind botching the AFC Championship game than was needed. I mean, Steven Tyler botched that song awfully.
And I think that was intentional. I'm beginning to believe now Steven Tyler botched it intentionally.
Really?
It was a jump off for Idol.
Yeah, but I don't think you want to sound bad when you're hosting.
Listen, right after that game, ironically, they had an American Idol on the
TV. American Idol came on right after that game.
On one of those Navy ships.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Where
right.
They did the auditions on a Navy ship.
But do you think it was smart of the NFL to put this sort of karaoke style lyrics up on? I think it was a smart move. I don't know what took them so long to do it. But when I saw it, the first thing that ran through my mind was, okay, she can't screw this up now. Because I was happy that they'd done it.
No, but you know what? As being the American Idol when she first won, I'm sure she sang it enough to where she would know the words. But I think they did that as backup, but I thought it was good that they played it for the whole audience as well.
I think it's sad that you have to put the words. When an American is standing up there singing it, that's sad that you have to put the words up. You should know the words to the Star Spangled Banner.
I couldn't agree more. You should know the words. But I think the NFL was sick and tired of the bad publicity of who it is they choose to sing this role. And by the way, out of all the people we've seen singing, I mean, I think Mary even said she hated Christian Chenoweth's version of the song, even though she nailed it. She did not get one word screwed up. She got no press about bad singing. But with Steven Tyler, which outshone Christian Chenoweth at the NFC Championship game, they just didn't want to have to deal with that anymore. Why are we hiring these people to sing the song who are singers who are completely botching it? I think that the NFL was sick and tired of it. And I think it was a smart move by them. I'm glad that they did it, but I'm saddened by the people who don't know the words.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's the part that upsets me, is that you don't know the words.
I've seen them pan to players on the field singing the wrong words to it.
Well, not Tom Brady.
They get hit in the head a lot.
Maybe they put it up there for them too.
You know, these guys get hit in the head a lot. I could see, you know, them forgetting the words every now and again.
You know. I'm glad that they did it, but I'm saddened at the fact that they have to, because now I know that every NFL game that we watch, where we, you know, during the playoffs, when we see that, we're going to have those words up there. Yeah, the NFL was reactionary, and they did that. By the way, on another note, speaking of the NFL, and we'll finally get off this topic because we finally did 2 hours of it. We're getting some other news. Here's the last thing that I wanted to bring up. Have you heard that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, has said that there are going to be two more teams that are going to be joining the NFL, have not decided in what city. It is going to be a 34-team roster, and we're not sure where it's going to be. Anybody willing to say that, yes, we need it, and where do we need it?
Well, are they going to, does that mean they're going to extend the season? They're going to have to extend the season.
Well, okay, you're probably right about that. They would probably extend it to 18 games, which is, you know, what they want to do. That's been talked about for a long time. It's probably going to happen. But, you know, if they extend the season and it's 34 teams, where do you want those two teams?
Hartford.
of, yeah, right.
What?
Not you believe blood con.
JC believes that there should be a team in Hartford, Connecticut.
I mean, they've talked about it several times before, and hell, Robert Kraft had announced, and we had billboards, that the Patriots was going to play their 2001 season in Hartford. He used Connecticut and Governor Rowland to get a stadium out of Massachusetts, and he got it.
Yeah.
And he duffed us. That's
and he totally did.
The Patriots.
Well, that's true. That's
well,
why Connecticut is... Go ahead, Jay.
I know Virginia put in a bid a little while ago, and we had it had come close to actually happening, and then it fell apart for some reason I don't know of.
Usually comes down to the cost of the stadium. Who's going to pay for it?
That's
oh,
true.
Well,
because the taxpayer has to pay part of the money, and Virginia is not in any position to do that. And plus, listen, guys, you've got the Washington Redskins. I mean,
no, well, we don't.
Whatever it is.
Okay. First of all, Reese. With that being said, there is no team here because the Washington Redskins are one of the worst teams in the league.
There's still a team in Washington D.C. I don't believe that there should be another team on the East Coast. If you think about it, you got Miami, you've got Jacksonville, and you got Tampa Bay. There's three teams in Florida. You got the Atlanta Falcons. They're in Georgia. South Carolina and North Carolina have the Carolina Panthers. You have NBC.
Alabama's going to pick up a team.
No, because college football is too big there. They can't.
It's too big down there.
College football is huge down there. They don't need an NFL team. I don't even see anybody spending money on that and playing for Auburn and Alabama. I don't see it. I don't see it. The only place I can see right now is L.A. L.A. is the only
LA.
Place that doesn't have
them. Yeah, I was going
to say L.A. is on the top of the list. They've been wanting it for the longest because the L.A. Rams have gone to St. Louis and the L.A. Raiders have gone up to Oakland. And, you know, all they have is the San Francisco 49ers. They don't have a team. And Sacramento has to do with the San Francisco 49ers. The lower quadrant of California does not have a team. So an L.A. team has to happen. You've got the Houston Texans and you've got Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys.
Cowgirls.
So whatever. They don't need another. St. Louis is, you know, they've got everything there. I don't think another place would be there. Indianapolis has got their team. I don't think there's another place. And not only that, you got Baltimore and D.C. And you got the Washington Redskins. You got Baltimore and the Washington Redskins. So you have two teams in literally the same vicinity. They don't need a third. I couldn't think of another place, except for one, just one. And this place really, really needs a team. And I know they won't get it, but it's the only place that I can think of where they should have football and where people will definitely go to watch football.
And where is that?
Oklahoma.
What are they going to call them, the Oklahoma Tornadoes?
Something. Oklahoma is the only place. Hey, look how great the Oklahoma, I mean, what do you call it? What's that? The Oklahoma Thunder is doing.
Who the hell are they?
Basketball team.
Oklahoma has a basketball team?
They used to be the Seattle Supersonics. They moved them to Oklahoma.
No.
Wow. See, that's how much I follow it. I did not know that.
Are you kidding me? The Seattle Supersonics are no more, and now they have the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that's the only place that I think that's a great sports franchise. You don't need a Cleveland Browns. They're awful. There's no other place that you can put another team. In fact, Ohio even got two teams. Oh, Cleveland's got the Browns. Cincinnati has the Bengals. Chicago's got the Bears. A 45-minute drive from Indianapolis, they got the Colts. Oklahoma's the only place that I can think of where they have another NFL team. The only place.
Yeah, but the weather there is too dangerous there to have a team playing there. I mean, it's just, especially during the season, during the season that that they play football. It's too – no, they can't do that.
Well, are you talking about the tornadoes and stuff?
Yeah, all the natural disasters that happen there.
What are we doing
for the
whole thing?
Oh, we can't right now, man. Can't because it's eating on there. You get him to watch it in the other room.
James is in the personal conversation. All right, let's do the top of the hour. When we come back, more news. It's Reese on the radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Mary had a little lamb in Jesus' white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
In the news today, of course, we did our whole Super Bowl recap because everybody seems to be talking about that. And I'm glad, you know, that the whole Super Bowl is over, but I'm saddened by the fact that we, you know, no longer have football. And, you know, I'm going to be going through what's called the football blues. I called it, well, everybody called it that, but it's the football blues, and I will because I have to go through 6 months of no real football. And I don't care about preseason because that's a joke. I'm not interested in that. I want to get the actual thing going on. So I go through a little bit of a depression. But there's plenty of other news that will distract me, and I'm very, very happy about that, that there will be plenty of news that will distract me from football for a while. Let me ask you a question. I don't mind so much that people have open and honest conversations about sex. And that's okay. Sex and sexuality, having conversations. I believe that, you know, children who have parents who don't know anything about sex, usually they find out sex from their friends or their peers or whatever it is, and parents don't play an active role in teaching their children about sex and sexuality. And that's because it's a very, very tough issue to deal with when you're dealing with your kids. And I understand that. It's a very touchy subject. You don't know what it is you can and cannot say to your kids, whether or not it's going to gross them out or whether or not they're going to listen to you. But most kids learn about sexuality through their peers. College, from what most people know, is one of those places that are the most dangerous when it comes to learning about sex and sexuality, because you're learning it from people who are inexperienced, who have their, you know, you have that guy who tells you, you know, the golden rules about, yeah, if a girl, if she does this, she really means this, and, you know, you got to do this with a girl, and they don't know what they're talking about. But I don't think that this should be at the hands of inexperienced people. But when I heard that this particular school, the Harvard of Connecticut, was actually doing something that was billed as, wait for it, Sex Week. That's right, folks. The Yale campus has what's called Sex Week. And it's an entire week that is billed as a way to promote sexual health through a series of events and workshops. It's been toned down this year on the advice of school administrators. A Yale junior was quoted as saying, I think especially this year, they've taken great care to make it an inclusive event. There will also be sessions about pornography. But this year, Sex Week has a competitor. Students with undergraduate for a better Yale college has started a True Love Week where they will host educational seminars. They say it will focus on less casual sex and more on relationships. We came up with the idea, quotes one of the kids, this summer when we realized the sheer silence there was on campus from the general hookup culture. So True Love, which they're trying to teach to the college students, is there to combat Sex Week. Now, they're saying that they toned it down. What the hell was going on before if they had to tone it down? And if toning it down still includes sessions about pornography, what the hell was going on before? Only one thing runs through my mind, toga, toga, toga. It was like Animal House at Yale. Now, JC, you're from that area in Connecticut. Do you know anything about Sex Week?
No, I mean, I mean, I've heard about it. I've never followed it.
Do you know any of the details that happened during Sex Week?
No, he doesn't because he's too busy collecting Beanie Babies and M&M dolls.
James, tell me
why
he
beats the class.
James,
I was
what were you about to say?
Okay. When I heard about this, I heard that there were like psychologists who were having like live sex acts. And like so
no.
breaking them down. Yeah, there was there was like a porn star or it was some psychologist or something who had a porn star on and they were actually committing a live sex act on the stage for the seminar.
No, please tell me
you're
kidding.
Shut your mouth. I want to be there. When is this week happening?
I think that's the toning down part, right? Because
they're not going to.
This came up a little while ago. I'm not real sure when, but yeah, there was a big uproar about that when people were going to class. Ironically, well, obviously not ironically, it was one of the it was one of the premier seminars. It was pretty much sold out. Standing room only.
So you're talking about going into a classroom and watching people actually perform sex?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
There can't be any truth to that.
JC, can you Google this, please? Can you look it up?
Please look
it. It was a pretty big deal.
This sounds heinous at best that anybody would be thinking about doing this.
This sounds one of the greatest classes colleges could have ever offered. What are you talking about?
Mary, you're scaring the hell out of me. As a woman, you would go to a... I mean, I can understand guys wanting to probably see this because guys are guys, and but a woman actually considering going to a class where they were going to see live sexual acts happen?
I heard they had a lot of... They had students signing up to actually be performers as come to the class.
No, that's
they
a little crazy.
Signing
but...
up.
I'm D for watching, though. Hey, I'm always down to learn something.
Hey, some people need it.
So you're going to make the argument that this kind of sexual ed needs to happen inside of our schools?
No,
no,
I didn't say that.
No,
I never said that.
If it was happening at my college, I would definitely be there. But do I think that they should do that? I don't know. I mean, that's a little, it's over the top. It's definitely over the top.
I don't know.
What can they teach you? I don't understand what they're teaching you. Are they teaching you different, what's the premise behind doing that? Are they teaching you different positions? What are they teaching you?
Well, I think that the whole idea was
G-Spot 101.
Are they teaching proper technique? I mean, is it to teach people how to have adventurous sex or fulfilling sex? I'm trying to figure it out because I know there are places where you can go and there are books that you can read to learn these things, but I don't know whether or not I'm comfortable with going to school where I'm in a class where people are, because I would expect a lot of laughing, snickers. You know, everybody's a little, humorous when it comes to conversations about sex. I mean, girls in the classroom with boys.
It's nervous humor, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That uncomfortable laughing when you're talking about oral or, things like that,
There's
talking about
on Long Island that you can pay $25 to get in, and you have to be accompanied by a woman to get in if you want to see these things.
I don't know. Really? I just don't think I want to be around anything that involves sex and a greed.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I'm there.
Are you scared? Are you scared you get a D, James?
I actually had the G, Mary. That's a pretty
good one. James, you're absolutely on point. I don't think that I want to be graded on this class. I mean,
talk about performance anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine one of your friends that come up to you and say, "Hey, what'd you get on the sex class?" I got an F. Yeah, there's no chance of you getting
an F. Getting an F, is that good or bad?
That's blunt.
Yeah, you might be right there, Mary. Getting a D and getting an F might be good grades in this class. they may grade you on a curve.
Now that's G-Spot 101.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a part of this class. I think more and more people would be embarrassed. I know that Yale would probably make that a strong argument.
No,
they would say more and more people are so embarrassed about talking about sex education that people would not join this class. And the reason why they're doing this sex week is to get people over the anxiety of talking about sex openly. It's one of those things that we keep private. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I don't want to assume here, but I kind of think that sex is a private act. I don't think that in any way it should be public. I don't want to discuss my sex life in public with people. I just don't.
So you're not. So it's fair to say you're not an exhibitionist.
Oh, not in the least. Oh, no. I close the shades, lock the doors, wait until it's night.
Close your eyes.
Close my eyes. I don't want to see nothing. I don't want nobody to see me. I'm very personal about that kind of stuff.
Reach does it with the lights off.
I do it with the lights off, exactly. I know you're there. I get it. You were there when I turned the lights off. That's all
maybe
I
this
need.
Is why you have, maybe this is why you have a hard time remembering. Maybe you should leave the light on.
Oh, that's just that's just awful.
I thought we were done with that on Friday.
No, I mean, I can't believe that out of all what you said earlier when you first started talking about this, that, they were going to try to teach people about love and relationships. So what would a class with a sexual act taking place in the class teach people about relationships and love?
They were doing it this year to combat the sex class.
There's a counter class, Mary. A counter class is talking about true love, where they're trying to teach, they're going sort of against the promiscuity theme behind Sex Week and talking about true love, about finding your mate, falling in love, finding the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with and not be so oriented about just sex. In other words, they believe the counter class is sort of talking about how you can find your true love, and maybe abstinence is a part of that,
only saving yourself for when you get married. You know, look, as much as I'll admit, no, you know, I've had premarital sex often, you know, probably more times than I'm willing to admit. But there's a part of me that believes that there can be, you know, there can be abstinence and you wait until the right time or wait until you're married. I'm, you know, the Jonas Brothers, you know, they believe not, you know, in not having sex until they're married. I kind of admire people.
And Tebow believes in not getting any booty until you're married.
Yes, I know. But see, then you trivialize having sex with terms
like that. That's why he didn't go to the Super Bowl.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
He was so pent up. He just couldn't concentrate.
So, are you saying that you would be okay with that? We can't have, you know, I don't, or whomever, I don't want to have sex with you unless or until we get married. You would be okay with that?
I'm willing to deal with that. I'm willing to accept that. I think if a woman told me that I fell in love with and said, I don't want to have sex with you until we're married, until it's official, I would be willing to deal with that. I would be willing
and
to.
And what happens, okay, well, what happens if you get married? And how, first of all, how are you falling in love with her before you even?
Oh, see, now you're suggesting that I can't fall in love with her until I have sex. Are you saying that there's no love outside of sex?
No, I'm not saying that there's no love outside of sex, but most men that have had sex can't get. I mean, you can't get to the point of falling in love with someone and not having sex in the interim.
I'm not driving the car without kicking the tires.
It would be one thing if you were already a virgin. But that's clear.
See, James,
because we know the numbers are 31.
James used the analogy, I'm not driving a car unless I'm kicking the tires. But see,
I'm not
going to
buy a car without kicking the tires.
Well, buying a car without kicking the tires. But see, again, I think that is a ridiculous claim where you're saying that sex with your mate is the social equivalent to kicking the tires. You know, I would have gone with test drive for 200, Alex, but... What I'm saying is that if there is a strong sexual attraction to you and that young lady, and she tells you, I want to be with you, I want to make love to you, but I want to do it the proper way, and you're looking at her and you're saying, all right, she's willing to wait. I'm willing to wait. No, she's willing to wait. Will I wait for her? Oh, that's not what prostitutes are for. I'm saying to you, are you saying that you cannot hold out until you're married? What I'm saying to you is that you meet a girl, you hook up, you decide that you're going to marry her. In fact, I'll go even further than that. You meet a girl, you fall in love with her, everything that you love about her, you enjoy about her. She tells you that she's not into having sex until marriage. Are you willing to continue dating her, possibly falling in love with her, starting a life with her, and then you get engaged? Can you do that? Can you get to the point where you get engaged? Can you get to the point where you wait the 2 years to get married? Can you wait until the wedding night to actually have sex with her? Can you remain monogamous leading up to all of that? Can you?
I don't think so. I just don't. I don't think it can happen. You're getting
married
somewhat.
Married?
Hey, I could do it.
But you're a girl. You're supposed to do it. I think it's in a girl's makeup that she can wait forever for sex, even though they like it just as much as guys do. But I think that they don't have the urge that men have. Men have an urge where it's a, you know, men kind of focus a lot of. Yeah, they have a lot of their energy is very, very directed towards their loins. Men
okay, so now we got James's answer. Reese, what is your answer? And then JC, what is yours?
my answer is that if I met a girl and I thought she was attractive, beautiful, sexy, she was a great kisser, I loved being around her, she was funny, she had my ideals, she had my drive, she, you know, believed in what I believed in, and she wanted to have a serious relationship and said, you know, I want to be with you and I want to make this serious, but I can't make love to you until we're married, and if you love me, you'll wait for me, because I love you and I'll wait for you. Let's just wait until that fateful day where we tie the knot, and then we'll finally be able to consummate our marriage with our first lovemaking. And I look her right in the face, and I look her right in the face, and I'll say, I think we're through. I think we're through.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you were honest about that, Reese. I have to appreciate your honesty.
Here's why. Because I believe that in order for me to find out who you are, I've got to find out who you are inside and out.
And plus, you don't want to wait all that time, you know, and then be stuck with somebody who's bad at it.
Oh, man. You know, if women talk about inner beauty, and I got to find out whether or not there's some beauty in the inner.
Now, JC, what's your answer?
Oh, let's get JC. JC, are you there?
Well, I'm here. I'm listening to it, and I'm kind of like, I'm weirded out by it. On the same token, it's a necessary discussion.
Of
course we had to answer.
The man collects
Eminem
dolls. How much sex is he having?
Oh, that's a good question. So, JC, could you do it? Could you wait until marriage?
No.
Pardon?
No.
You can?
He says no. Can't do it. You guys can do it.
I don't think any guy can. I think once you've actually I'm saying that once the guy has had a taste of the forbidden fruit in his life, I think that once that door is open, it's open. I believe that once you've opened the door of having any sexual experience in your life, that door forever stays open. The next time that you meet a girl, you're thinking about her in a sexual way. I don't think that you can ever go in a relationship and not want to be with that woman in a sexual way. I don't think that any guy could hold out. You've already tried sex, and you've experienced it, and you liked it. So you want to experience that every time you're involved with the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, even from a woman's perspective, I guess since I've already had sex, I wouldn't want to end up getting married to somebody and then you find out that they've got shortcomings or that they're just, that would be horrible.
No pun intended on this show.
Or not. That would be hard.
Intended.
Or not.
I think we're all in agreement here that, I don't know. There are people out there who have done it, and there are people out there who do it. You know, and you know what? There's that TV show that was, that reality show with they were virgins who got married, and they had that really, really awkward kiss they never ever even made out before, and they were, like, literally, they looked like they were eating each other's faces.
Ew.
It's a new reality
show. I never
saw
that one.
It was a reality show where they were like trying to teach people how to date, right?
Or kiss or whatever. Oh, the couple had never had sex before. They had never ever even kissed before. They got married. Both of them are virgins. And the father says, "You may kiss the bride." And they start kissing each other, and literally it looked like wild banshees trying to eat each other's faces. It was so nasty and so gross. I don't know what the TV show is. I think it's on TLC, but it's apparently it's called Virgin Something, and these two people just looked awkward. And you know this was probably a horrendous honeymoon night. I mean, it was probably awful. And
well, now,
I mean,
you know, I know people that have actually gotten, you know, they have arranged marriages, right? So they say the man supposedly saves himself and the woman saves herself. I mean, those marriages work out, you know, for the most part. I don't know if it's because of the tradition and you're not supposed to get divorced in that culture, or if the woman is unsatisfied and she still stays because that's her job and that's her role. And 9 times out of 10, the man will step out if he's unsatisfied. But, you know, it happens, and sometimes it works out. So,
I don't know. I don't think, even in those relationships, I'm almost certain that a lot of those women are bitter down the line when they find out that the guy is awful. He doesn't perform well. They're stuck there because that's their. They don't fulfill themselves. They definitely don't fulfill themselves. I feel bad about it, but it's the state of our youth. I don't know. I guess I have to try it out before anybody else. Anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll recap the show. It's Reese on the Radio. Number is 347-308-8701. ReeseOnTheRadio.com and ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. To Pop Pop. To my unofficial grandfather, Ronald Reagan, happy birthday to you. And it's only fair to spend to at least show some tribute to the man. We'll see you guys when we come back.
There was once upon a time to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning, and when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And welcome back, folks. It's Reese on the Radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And, of course, we spent most of the day talking about the Super Bowl and the New York Giants. Everybody knows, yes, they won. And, you know, rightly so, they earned it. I believe, personally, they are earned it. In an otherwise boring game. So they get bragging rights for the next year. I'd like to see whether or not they actually make it back into the Super Bowl again. There might be a slight chance that they will. They've got to improve a lot. They can't go in at 7 wins, 7 losses in week 14 in order to do it again. They've got to really, really improve. But I know that everybody here on, at least Jamie and James and Mary will agree that it doesn't matter if they're 7-7 in week 14, they'll still come back and kick butt, right?
Right.
I'm sure they believe that. Yeah, anyway. But also, which is very important, that a lot of, you know, the NFL awards came out for 2012. There were some people who were very, very obvious what the list was going to be. The MVP of the league was Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Who rightly deserved it. Guy went 15-1 throughout the season. The Green Bay Packers did, for that matter. Offensive Player of the Year was Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, who broke Dan Marino's single-season passing record. The Defensive Player of the Year was Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens. He had a great year defensively. Offensive Rookie of the Year with the Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers, who, I mean, even though they had a losing record, Cam Newton was amazing this year. Defensive Rookie of the Year was Von Miller of the Denver Broncos, who had a great year. He was the linebacker of Denver Broncos. They had a Cinderella story up until the first round of the playoffs. Comeback Player of the Year went to Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions, the quarterback who actually was injured last year, came back, and he threw for 5,000 yards and took the Detroit Lions to their first playoff since 1999. NFL Man of the Year, which is now called the Sweetness Award. And you all know who Sweetness is. Anybody? Anyone? Anyone?
Anyone? No.
Come on, guys. Chicago Bears, running back, Sweetness. Walter Payton?
No.
Jeez, it's called the Walter Payton Award with the Matt Burke, also the Baltimore, and the head coach of the year, the NFL head coach of the year with the Jim Harbaugh of the San Francisco 49ers, who you know had a phenomenal career until Mary and James New York Giants kicked their butt in the NFC title game. So that was the round out this year. So a lot of them were very, very obvious. So it was a great season.
Let's not forget about Eli Manning and the record of Johnny Unitas that he broke.
What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about the fourth quarter comeback yardage?
The fourth quarter, the amount of touchdowns. I think it's the amount of touchdowns thrown in the fourth 15. Quarter.
Yes, 15 touchdowns in the quarter. Yes, Johnny Unitas. I mean, that's kind of a ridiculous stat, guys. I mean, we have a stat.
Well, I didn't make it up. The NFL did.
But it's a ridiculous stat. There's no real stat for it. I mean, we have stats in the NFL for, like, how many field goals how many field goals a kicker makes in the third quarter in the rain. I mean, come
listen,
on. I mean,
the NFL made it up. I didn't. Neither did you, neither did anybody else. The NFL did.
Yes, but that's because the NFL does that, and some of them are ridiculous stats. I don't want – you know, it's the reason why my stat isn't a stat. If you're caught singing the national anthem during the Super Bowl, your team loses. That's why it's not a stat, because it's ridiculous. I think it's valid because it's mine, but it's, you know, it's proven to be true.
And I think it's valid because it's my quarterback that broke Johnny Unitas' record.
I don't know. I don't agree. James, how about you?
And the NFL thinks it's valid because they're the ones that came up with it.
It didn't make the year list. That's not
it
a category for it. You don't win an award. You don't win an award for it. I mean, I know you want to tout your quarterback. You didn't like Eli Manning in the beginning either. He was a horrible player the first year. You know,
well, because he was unseasoned. He was a horrible player, but he has grown to become one of the greatest quarterbacks.
You know what, Mary? There's one thing that I find troubling about this conversation is that I'm on the phone with a girl talking about football. But let me ask you this question, because I want to hear your opinion. I know it's going to be biased, okay? So I want your opinion. Before this Super Bowl run and before this year even went underway, it was fair to say that Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than his brother. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now Eli Manning has two rings and two MVP awards for the Super Bowl. Is it a safe argument that Eli Manning is a better quarterback than his brother?
I don't – listen, I like Peyton Manning, and I love Eli Manning. So I won't say that he is a better quarterback. I will say that he is a seasoned quarterback. He is a veteran now. He has shown and proved that year after year he gets better and better and better, and we can only get even better.
Okay, then I'll make this second argument. Okay, here's another argument. It took Eli Manning 3 years to win his Super Bowl ring. It took Peyton Manning 9 years to win his Super Bowl ring. In that accumulated time, 3 years, add 4 more years, 7 years, Eli Manning has 2 rings. Peyton Manning only 1 in 9. Went to the Super Bowl against the New Orleans Saints 2 years ago and lost. Isn't that a stronger argument to say that Eli is a better quarterback than his brother?
I think the Giants have a better team together.
You are not willing to concede that Eli is a better quarterback than Peyton. Not yet.
I'm not saying that either one is better than the other, but I think that the Giants as a whole team came together better than the Colts did.
Well, wait a minute. If that's the case, why not give the MVP to the team? They gave the MVP to Eli in both. I think it's safe to say that how did Eli win the MVP of the first Super Bowl he won? Because he got out of that almost sack, threw that ball to David Tyree, and kept the Giants in the game, and then throws that touchdown to Plaxico Burress in the end zone, in the corner. They gave it to Eli Manning because he was able to scramble out of that sack. I mean, they were calling it a sack during the game. And he gets out of it, throws that ball, and it goes to David Tyree. The next play, they get a touchdown. Next 2 plays, they get a touchdown. They have this game. He throws that amazing ball to Mario Manningham, and he wins the game. And he's given the MVP again. You can't tell me that he's better than Peyton Manning. The argument has to be, I mean, if it's about rings, that could be an argument in and of itself, but 2 MVPs, two Super Bowl appearances in 4 years, and he won both of them? Don't you think the argument's over?
I like them both. I'm not going to say that he's better or worse.
Really?
I mean, if you want to look at numbers and rings, and then he's better. If that's what you want to look at. But I think that the Giants did not win that game because of Eli Manning alone. The Giants won that game, and they won the last Super Bowl game that they won because of the team. It was a team effort.
That was a lousy score, too. I mean, that wasn't a phenomenal score.
A win is a win. It doesn't matter.
But, I mean, he didn't blow out the New England Patriots 4 years ago. He didn't get them. He didn't blow them out this time.
But nobody expected him to blow them out. The Patriots are a decent team. They're a great team. Nobody expected it to be a blowout. Now, people expected for the Patriots to blow the Giants out the last time we played them in the Super Bowl.
I had them 55 points. I said I had a blowout in the last Super Bowl too. I had the Patriots winning that game handedly.
Well,
I mean,
Stop rooting for the big guys. You got to root because we were the underdogs in both games.
I wasn't rooting. I just said that it looked like the Patriots would win. But bottom line, the Giants clearly have their number. That being said, is that, look, the guy's got 2 MVPs, he's got 2 wins in 4 years. I think the argument is a valid argument.
I'm not saying it's not a valid argument. All I'm saying is that I like both quarterbacks, and I'm not going to say that either one is better than the other, but when it comes down to the amount of time that it took Eli to get 2 rings, and the fact that he has 2 MVPs and his brother only has 1 ring, yes, okay, so he's a better quarterback, but it also has to do with the rest of the team.
So you are not willing to give kudos to Eli
Manning.
Because
I think that a lot of times Peyton was playing by himself.
Okay. And you're only saying that with their recent record last year because Peyton wasn't there and they only won 2 games.
No, Peyton didn't even play. So that last year, this past year was irrelevant, you know? He didn't even play. I think that the Giants had a better team than the Colts had.
Interesting. Okay. I really, really thought that the argument was going to be made that Eli was a better quarterback than his brother. I thought that you were going to go there. But, okay, I'm going to give you credit for not going there because I really, really thought that's what you would say. I mean, you were really, really touting them like, you know, the Giant was the ish. You know,
The Giants are the ish. Eli is the ish, but so is everybody else on that team that played a role in getting us to where we were and where we are today.
So you're not
never just the quarterback.
So you're not putting the win on Eli.
No, I'm not putting the win on Eli. Nobody can. You can't put that win on just Eli.
Okay. Here's another question. Do you think Eli is a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
After last night's game? Well, we beat them twice this year. So we beat them twice this year. We beat them the first time we played them this year, and we beat them yesterday. Do I think that he's a better quarterback than Tom Brady? Stats would say no, but I think that he is on his way to being. The difference between Eli and Tom Brady is that Tom Brady has been playing longer than Eli has.
Okay.
So that's the difference between, you know, a lot of quarterbacks or a lot of team players. Some have been playing longer than others, and I think that Eli has come light years in the amount of time that he has been playing. And for him to get in those pockets and just look like he has no idea where he's going, where to throw the ball to go from that to what he is today and what he's
right.
basically been all this year, is light years to come for him to just make that 360-degree turnaround in such a short amount of time. So I'm not taking any credit away from him. But,
well,
you know,
I'm
if
going...
you look at... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening. No, I'm listening. I just wanted to say, I'm going to make a phone call before we go because I think that what we should do is I'm going to bring in somebody who is a huge Giant fan, our friend Derek, and find out whether or not he is willing to make the argument that Eli is a better quarterback than Peyton. And I think it's only fair that we ask him. Let's get Derek on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Derek, it's Reese on the radio. You got to promise me, no cursing.
Yep.
Okay? We're having an argument.
We're having an argument. We're having a debate.
Yeah,
okay.
We're having a debate. Now, we played your song that you called on my voicemail about, you know, I believe in Eli. So
yeah.
I got to ask a valid question because you're a very ardent football fan, and I think it's appropriate to ask you this question. Now, we know that it took 9 years for Peyton Manning to win his first Super Bowl. It took 3 years for Eli to win his first Super Bowl, and now 4 years later, he wins his second. Is it fair to make an argument that Eli is a better quarterback than his brother Peyton?
Well, let's put it like this. If you want to go over, I guess you want to say longevity situation. I mean, let's face it, you know, Peyton's definitely had more 10, 11, 12 game winning seasons, you know, but when Eli first got to New York and what's his name was the quarterback? Who's the quarterback who quarterback the Rams when they won? Kurt Warner? Yeah, Kurt Warner was the quarterback, and they switched to Eli. At first I was upset because I thought Kurt Warner was playing good ball. But, you know, I know the Giants, they spent money on Eli, so they went ahead and stuck him in there. Now, at the end of the season, Eli admitted, too, he made a lot of mistakes. I sat there and I said, you know, Eli Manning sucks, but he has a good two-minute offense, all right? Now, when he won a Super Bowl, he won a Super Bowl with that two-minute offense, all right? Now, this whole season, the seven or eight games that he, you know, won in the final minutes, he wins with that two-minute offense. But his two-minute offense is on steroids now. I mean, it is what it is. The man, you give the man The fourth quarter, you give him 2 minutes. You see what he did last night. That's just what he does. I mean, his no huddle offense. Hell, I wish they'd run him the whole game with that no huddle offense. Because once he gets it going, man, it can't be stopped. And that's just how it is. So,
okay.
You know,
so,
if I want to say that, which one is better in the clutch? In the clutch, hey, it is what it is. It's Eli in the clutch, man. But
okay,
if I want to build a franchise around a quarterback, hey man, the numbers say Peyton, right? Okay.
So the numbers say Peyton. So I thought that it would make a strong argument.
So Derek agrees with me.
No, and he does. But I don't think that anyone is making the comparison now, and they should. Eli has got not only two Super Bowl wins under his belt, but he's got two MVP titles, and he did it in a shorter time. So can't the argument be made that Eli is a better quarterback?
Well, it can be. I mean, shoot, he has two rings. You know, when it was Peyton's time for a second ring, man, he threw the pick. Eli didn't throw the pick. Yeah? It is what it is.
So fair enough. Then right now that Eli has clearly removed himself from the shadow of his older brother.
He has two rings. Like I said, his brother threw the pick. Eli didn't throw the pick. So, you know, Eli has it right now. Eli has the edge. You know, and like I said, he has a better two-minute offense, and he's the only Manning in his family who's beaten a Florida school in college. You know, the dad lost to Florida in college, and the brother did. You know, Eli beat Florida. So, you know.
So it's clear to say that Eli is the better quarterback, and that argument is pretty much moot now because Eli's got.
Yeah,
so
Eli's definitely the better clutch quarterback. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, not clutch. I'm talking about overall because.
Well, look at his yardage this year. The dude threw 67 yards short of a 5,000 yard season.
Okay, fair enough. Here's my other question: if it's true. If it is indeed true that Eli Manning, again, because, again, the stats don't lie. Stats don't lie at all, and Eli has those two, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Eli is better than Peyton, because you'd have to make that argument now, Eli is clearly better than him because he's got the two rings, he's got the two MVPs, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
That being said, is Eli a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
Ooh. Well, you know, I always felt that, you know, I hated that people put Tom Brady in the same class as the quarterback I hated the most in my life, Joe Montana, because Joe Montana never won a Super Bowl with a field goal. He drove it down your throat, and that's how it was. Tom Brady won all of his field goals, all his Super Bowls with a field goal.
You know, I
agree
with you there.
How he gets put in a class with Joe Montana.
I agree with you. I agree with you because Tom Brady gets more of his accolades for what he does during a season, but his Super Bowls are always won with field goals. You're absolutely right about that.
Exactly.
Right about that. And that's where I always make that argument about Tom Brady. Tom Brady has never, ever won a Super Bowl with a touchdown. He's won them with field goals.
Yeah. Well, Joe Montana never won it with it. Man, he drives it down your throat, man. You know? I hate that dude.
But wait a minute! Now you rooted for the 49ers when they played against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, you know that one game, man. We were getting drunk at your aunt's house, and you know I generally go NFC over AFC. You know, and that was a classic, man. I can't believe you remember
that. That was a classic game. I do remember that. So that's the only thing I want to say. So here's my other question. I asked the guys earlier in the show, and be honest. I know you had a horse in the race because I know you're a Giant fan. You are an ardent Giant fan. But let's be truthful. You watch the Super Bowl every year, Derek.
Yeah.
Wasn't this one of the most boring Super Bowls in recent history?
No. What are you talking about, man? Any Super Bowl that the Giants are in is exciting. What are you talking about? Shoot, man. This thing was clutch, brother.
Derek, he tried to get me and Jamie to say that. I was like, what are you talking about? We're Giants fans. No way it was a disappointing game.
No, not at all. I mean, you see, that's the thing. This is the thing. You think it's exciting only if it's a high-scoring game, man. You know, I always believed in
the Giants' defense, man.
That's not true.
I didn't say, no, not
what
so
was,
much.
What was boring about this game? Well,
it,
I mean, you know,
it
would have
been exciting.
The tension was always high.
I understand the tension is always high, but what I'm saying is this, is that the three most exciting parts about this game was, of course, the Tom Brady intentional grounding, you know, due to Justin Tuck. The pass from Manningham on the sideline, and the last 53 seconds when Tom Brady was trying to drive it down the field, and you know he ended up throwing the Hail Mary that you know went for naught. I think those are the three most exciting things about the game. I thought the rest of the game was nothing.
Oh, you kidding me? Come on, man! Every time Brady went up there, man, we got to stop this guy, man. You know, I mean, the whole key to getting Brady, you got to put the pass rush on him. You don't get the pass rush on him, man. I mean, this dude will burn you. You know, so every time I'm over here like, dude, we got to stop this guy. We got to stop this guy. I mean, come on, man. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, let's face it. Whatever you say about the Giants' defense, our defense is like, I mean, you know, I know you build your defense to stop the teams in your division. And for some odd reason, we couldn't stop the Redskins at all. And, you know, we had a hell of a time against the Eagles. But whatever we did to build our defense, it was like the perfect defense to stop Tom Brady. Remember, Tom Brady just threw for, you know, about 3 weeks ago, he threw for 6 touchdowns against the Denver Broncos. You know? So,
yes, he did.
Like I said, with that Giants defense. You know, there's only like 2 defenses in the league that can rush the quarterback without blitzing, and that's the Giants and that's the Eagles. Everybody else, you know, you got to blitz to stop this guy, and we don't have to do that, man. You know, that's a luxury we have with the, you know, defensive ends and the defensive linemen that the Giants have, you know?
But, okay, so it sounds like you're making an argument that it was the defense who won this game, not Eli Manning.
Well, I'm saying it was a collective effort. You know, we're going to just sit over here and say with Eli, because if it was just Eli, then it would be a gunfight there, you know? But it wasn't like that. You know, it was a collective effort there. I mean, the defense had to shut this guy down. And anytime you sit there and say a defense holds your team to 20 points or less, Your defense did their job.
Okay,
also,
so right? I would say that Eli Manning didn't deserve the MVP award just based on your analysis.
You know what? I say in both Super Bowls, Justin deserved that. But they give it to Eli because he's a man. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that
both of the ones we got to
not give Eli any credit.
Well, I'm not. It's not that I don't want to give Eli any credit. What I'm saying is, and James, you'll have to agree with me, just like Derek just mentioned. It was the defense that really, really won this game for Eli. Of course, Eli's got to score. Eli's got to throw the ball.
Oh, wait a minute, Reese. That is not what Derek said. Derek just said that our defense was on point. He didn't say that our defense won the game.
Eli does what he does. That 2-minute offense for Eli is the business. All right?
Eli is one of the most important players on the team.
Well, okay. All I wanted to know was whether or not the argument can be made that Eli was better than his brother. That's the only thing that I wanted to know.
See, that's the thing that kills you because, like I said, Eli's 2-minute offense can't be beat, man. That's the one thing he has over his brother. I mean, that's the one thing Eli has over everybody. That's the one thing I've always said about Eli when I couldn't stand him is he has a good 2-minute offense. Dude, his 2-minute offense is fantastic now, you know, but the rest of the game sometimes he kills me. You know, but like I said, you talk about clutch performance, that dude is ice cold, man. You know, I call him the Shucks assassin, man. He's like the Shucks. You know? But he kills you, man.
All right.
Yeah?
That's our show for the day. I figured I'd get it from a pro. It's Reese on the radio. See you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
All right, bro.
It's Reese on the radio. See you guys tomorrow.